So let's continue. We are still in chapter 16. We're down to verse 6. And it says, they passed through the Phrygia and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Notice it said forbidden by the Holy Spirit. Thus we see that they were given personal guidance and instructions in these apostolic and evangelical ministries and outreaches. Those who are led of the Spirit, again, must at times and have to be given clear instruction. Thus prophecy, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, that's where it comes into play. Those who claim that the written word alone is enough are foolish and unable at times to be guided in their personal life and ministries, because again, they have cut out the dealing of the Holy Spirit. I've seen people grab various scriptures out of context to prove the ministry they have. And I said, well, it's astounding that if you have a missionary call to Indonesia, how could you find that scripture when Indonesia's not in there? It is astounding. Yet these people will try to prove by the written word of God they're called to Indonesia. They cannot do it. It's impossible. But the Holy Spirit can give them instructions. See, again, the word of God said go into all the world. It gives a general, but the Holy Spirit and his guidance at time is to be precise. That's why it's called the Spirit of Wisdom. And as we watch the early church and the apostles' movement, they were given various specific instructions to go to certain areas at certain times and not to go at other times. And again, that is the Spirit preparing people's hearts and he himself deciding on what areas because of their availability. Sometimes we're not even told why he, maybe someone was praying in that area and seeking the Lord, and the Holy Spirit decides, then I will send people there. But again, he has to be Lord. People forget that. So much of people's guidance, if it's simply by mental assent to Scripture, they cannot be guided by the Holy Spirit. It just cannot be done. Again, the Scripture says the Word and the Spirit agree. I'll say it over and over again, and it disturbs people because they have no understanding of Scripture. The written word of God, apart from the Holy Spirit's influence, cannot produce anything. It cannot produce any spiritual life. It can give you information. But I know ministers who quote the word of God back and forth who are not saved and on their way to hell. There are false prophets and false teachers that know very well how to quote Scripture. And at times they can quote the Scripture right if it suits them. But there is no spiritual life there, and it cannot be. So again, the word of God was given under inspiration, and those who are called to proclaim the gospel, to minister in the fivefold ministry, if we understand the teaching of Paul and the apostles, that they are to continually be guided by the Holy Spirit, and in general, people who are called to preach the gospel are thus called. And if they're not called, they are given information to people. They're not even a good witness. And much of what you'll hear people given the gospel is people given a few scriptures and verses and tracts. But they're not giving the true gospel because it's not sound. As I've said constantly, 3, 4, 5, 7 scriptures is not the gospel. I'll pick up a tract sometime and you can read it in 1 minute, and at the end you can be saved and secure with God forever and you don't have to do anything else. This is nonsense and it's foolishness. And it has no basis in Christianity. There is no quick fix. The gospel is a continual growing in grace, and it does not end until one overcomes and finishes their life here. There is no once saved, always saved. There is no one get them saved and you don't have to worry about them. This is demonic teaching, and that's what I call it because it's exactly what it is. People I know can parrot Scripture very well, and they claim to be Christians for 20 and 30 years, but they are not guided by the Holy Spirit because they're not called by the Holy Spirit or they've not met the conditions that God requires. And even Paul said, well, how can somebody be set to give the gospel if they're not called? So the personal call and anointing of the Spirit and inspiration of the Spirit is required for anyone who's going to claim to be in mature Christian ministry. Otherwise, they're no different than a parrot that has been taught Scripture. And you have this happening in many denominations. They have ignorant people going around with little books, reading to people what their denomination or their minister tells them. But they can't tell you If you trap them and corner them, they have no wisdom. Because again, they're not inspired. They don't have the knowledge, and they shouldn't be out there doing this. Again, if you don't know what you're preaching and teaching, keep your mouth shut. It's better to say nothing than to give false doctrine. If you don't know what you're given, be quiet until you know what to do. Seek the Lord and pray and live your Christianity. But it's better, again, to be quiet than to give a false gospel or talk about something you know nothing about. Paul would not permit, and it should stand now, no novice would he put in authority. Anybody who pretends to have any word ministry is supposed to be mature in the Lord. And if they're not, they have no business publicly ministering to people. Anybody can testify to what experience they have or what they even understand. But to speak with authority and to speak with understanding, you have to be somewhat mature in the Word of God, in the knowledge of the Word, and in how to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, the person should keep quiet. Even Proverbs says, even a fool is considered wise when he keeps his mouth shut. But see, once a person proceeds to teach on something he has no ability or no instruction, he is distorting truth. He is teaching lies whether he knows it or not. Because that which is not of the truth is a lie. And so I've seen many goodwill people, many people of good intentions, novices, false Christians. They'll sit there and share it, and they mean well, and they're serious, but everything comes out of their mouth for foolishness and has no basis in Scripture. And yet, they're out there as if God has called them. Well, it's true, it's a sure thing He's not called them because they don't know how to rightly handle God's Word. They don't know what it means, but they have zeal. But zeal without knowledge is foolish and it's deadly. Not only to those who listen to it, but those who propagate it. And so this is what is done today. Many people will go knocking on your door, and I dare say the majority of them have no understanding of what Christianity is. But they use the word Lord Jesus, and they use the word witness and evangelism, and they try, and they put forth the effort in what they're doing. But even the Jews did that. They were zealous in making a convert, and Jesus says, and then you're making twice the hell that you are. He'll be so zealous in his deception and lies that he'll succeed in deceiving more people than you do. That's what he meant. So we have to understand this. So again, we have to have the written word of God understood, but it must be inspired. It must be illuminated, not only from the speaker, but the hearer. Again, general information is instruction. And for the Christian, instruction has its place. But I keep saying, but for the non-Christian or the person who's not spiritual, mental assent to Scripture and instruction cannot help them spiritually. See, until there's application, until the Holy Spirit's working, that is all it is mental information. And so a fool, anybody can sit and read Scripture and they're speaking forth the truth. They could read Scripture over the radio for 30 minutes, and you could say, you know, everything this person says is the truth, but it is not going to help anybody spiritually. It cannot, in general, help. Only person can help, again, is the exception, is the person who's spiritual that hears it. They can take the Word of God, the information, and it can be applied to them. But what I'm saying is it's not inspired. It's not under God's influences directly, and it appears that when people are brought into salvation, they are supposed to be under the Spirit's influence, not being talked into three scriptures. See, I've seen this over 40 years. People are just given three scriptures. Do you believe this? And they said, nah, well, you're a Christian. And that person goes out believing he's a Christian, and there's been no work of the Holy Spirit. There's been no conviction of sin. There's been no repentance. There's been no understanding of what's going on. They're just mouthing what they were told to do. And that is called the blind leading the blind. And Jesus implied they both were going to fall. That's what's going to happen. So again, we put too much emphasis today because we have availability. But there is a danger, and I've taught on it before, even if you have the Holy Spirit's influences, there are counterfeits out there. And unless you not only know the sound written Word of God, and you've matured to a certain degree, there are various spiritual influences that are very close counterfeits to the genuine things of the Lord. And the Apostle John said, test the spirit and see whether they're of God. That's how many people led astray. The other danger I've seen is that people who mean well and have a little scripture, all of a sudden they're given prophecies or they feel they've got a word of the Lord, and they start putting these experiences and these little chills and thrills up and down their spine as if it overrides sound doctrine. And they'll tell you, oh, the God told me to do this, and I used to counsel these people. And they said, well, you know, the Lord said this, the Lord said that. And I said, well, you know, it can't be the Lord. Well, I know it because I felt this and I felt that and so-and-so said. I said, but it's in conflict with sound doctrine. And most of the people many times will back down and they want to talk to somebody else because, see, you have squelched something that they want to believe. See, many people that come under the influences of spirits, they want to believe it. They consider it real. See, they'll put an experience, an emotional mood above sound scripture and what the Word of God says. So a person like that is very easily led astray. I've seen many people led astray by what they want. They tell themselves because they want something so bad, they twist scripture. As the scripture says, they twist scripture to their own destruction. I've seen Christians do this. They want something so bad that they block out everything else to what they want to hear, and then they run with it as if they have the Word of the Lord. But in the long run, if they acknowledge it or don't, they realize they were fools. And they'll realize that God wasn't in it when they're willing to listen why it didn't come to pass and why God wasn't in it. And sometimes it's so simple, but see, when a person wants what they want, they don't want to believe anything else. That's a danger. See, that's a covetous spirit. That's a spirit that wants what it wants. It manifests itself through stubbornness and willfulness. It manifests itself through the word covetousness. Covetous means a lust for something, a strong, intense desire. And when somebody wants something bad enough, they really want to believe God's in it because it encourages them. But see, if he isn't in it, they're opening themselves up to a lying spirit. They're following the wrong path. They're being led along a wrong path. And then later on, they become bitter at God. They blame God for their own deceptions and foolishness because he was trying to warn them. They don't listen. Once they don't get what they want, their intensity for God and spiritual things wanes. And they're not interested. See, because it reveals that they saw Christianity, as many people today with the prosperity doctrine, as Paul said, they see Christianity as a means to gain. Not only gain of financial things, and that's what he was talking about there, but the gain what they want. They're finding their life. They're using Christianity to sort of get what they want. When Jesus immediately in the beginning said, he who follows me has to lose his life. So many of the personal, selfish, and that's what they are. Many of the desires of people and Christians are strictly selfish. And they want to believe God wants it for them because, again, they think it produces faith. No, it produces a delusion. And, again, that's what happens to people. If they don't know sound doctrine, they're more easily led astray. If you study and are grounded in the Word of God, it's not as easy to be led astray. Oh, you can be. Then you enter into another system. You can be sound in doctrine. I know some sound teachers that were very sound who were in adultery and who were in fornication. And they didn't want to believe their sin was as bad as it was. And I'd sit there and talk to them, and I was astounded at their knowledge of Scripture. And they would say, well, I know this ain't right, but I think God's permitted, and I'm doing a good work. I said, you should never open your mouth again. You should never present the gospel until you get out of your sin. If you're living in sin and you know you're in sin, don't presume to represent God, because it's a deadly thing. He'll give you over to further deception. Again, it's a form of self-righteousness. Well, I know I'm wrong, but I'll do this to make up for it. There is no penance. There is no indulgence. You know, these are all systems, but you can see where they come from. People will not repent and give up their sin, so they sacrifice in another area as if they will appease God, as if he's pleased with me. And I've talked to ministers, evangelists, who still preach. And people get saved on the preaching of the word, and yet they're still living in adultery. But the hearers don't know that. See, that's God can use the word and open the ear of the understanding of the desperate person. But he did that with priests. He did that with Eli. Eli pronounced a prophecy that was true. And yet he was wicked before the Lord. Balaam was a Gentile prophet. Everything he spoke, the scripture says, came to pass. And yet he was a covetous prophet, and he wanted money. And the only reason he gave the last true words of the Lord was he was threatened by a sword of the Lord to kill him if he didn't. But his heart was covetous and wicked. Yet he understood when God was speaking. See, that's the danger of those who go on with God. They can have true doctrine. They can understand spiritual things, but they can be deceived in another way. See, sin is the deceiver. And as I talked to these people, I was astounded. I had to counsel sometimes pastors and teachers who knew more than I did as far as Scripture. And yet they had such blinders, they could not see the simplicity of their wickedness and their sin. And they would sort of excuse it. Well, I'm still doing good. And I'm sitting there saying, you shouldn't be doing anything. If you're living in adultery and fornication, you shouldn't open your mouth to anybody about the things of God. You should be getting right with God or keep your mouth shut. Because you don't represent God, and actually you'll bring a judgment on you. But see, that mind becomes twisted. Hebrews says, the hardness of sin, the deceitfulness of sin, will deceive you. And I've talked to these people. These people will be involved in ministries, and they will help ministries, and they'll give money. They'll sacrifice in that area, but they will not give up the sin and the adultery and the fornication, and they'll excuse themselves. But see, they're no different than the Dark Ages when the people believed in indulgences, that they could buy God off, that they could beat themselves when they sinned, and that would appease God. And yet they go out and keep doing their thing. They don't change. But they, oh, if I flick myself a little, somehow this will please. No, it doesn't please God. Scripture says, a broken heart, a contrite spirit, and repentance. That's what pleases God. Talk doesn't please God. The sacrifices of the wicked, the Scripture says, is an abomination to the Lord. That's why in the old system and under the law, offerings were forbidden to be taken from whores and male prostitutes and those in sin. God said he'd bring a curse on them. But see, again, that human nature wants to ease its conscience. And the only way to truly do that is to do what's required of you. But when people seek other methods, they're opening themselves up to lies because it isn't going to work. Okay, so that's the danger again. People who do not know sound doctrine, or again, on the other hand, people can know sound doctrine, but they're living in sin, gross sin, and they will not repent of it. That will lead them into a different kind of deception, and that becomes more deadly. They are the people who are led into the terrible state when the Scripture says it's impossible for them to find repentance. See, they come to a place, they know the Word of God. See, when people are deceived, it doesn't always mean their mind is altered concerning what the truth is. Why, Satan himself can quote truth when it suits him. But it means something's been distorted in their spirit, and they are not bothered like they used to be bothered. The truth that they know does not disturb them anymore. They become hardened to it. That's what happened to King Saul. They become hardened to the reproofs of the Lord. Doesn't the Psalms teach this? It said, he that is often reproved. That was the key there to that verse. It means many times they're reproved. It says, and they stiffen their neck. They become willful. It means they don't repent. They don't take the exhortation of the Word. They put up a resistance against the Holy Spirit, and it's continual. And the Scripture said, they shall be cut off, and that without remedy. That's what happened. So there are people who blasphemed the Holy Spirit, who died knowing Scripture very well, who once walked with the Lord deeply, and aren't walking with him, and are cut off from God's grace. That's the danger. Responsibility. The more given, more is required. So again, there's more hope for those who know less and have been given less. God judges them at a lesser level. Nevertheless, even as Jesus said, they will not be excused. He said, he who did not know certain things will be beaten with fewer stripes. He'll be beaten nevertheless. Ignorant sins are not excused. See, because God requires that a person not stay ignorant. See, many people are ignorant in their sin because they will not pursue the Word of God. They will not be disciplined. They will not search out the truth. They somehow feel that what I don't know won't hurt me. But see, God knows motive and intent. So therefore, as Jesus said, many people, most people, will not come to the truth lest their sins be exposed. They've already revealed they're wicked. And they have many ignorant sins too, but see, they're willingly ignorant because they don't want to know it. See, people seem to know that if they are informed of something, they're held accountable. So they figure if I hide from it and run from it, I won't be called into account. I didn't know that. Many a child tries that with their parents. They don't want to know something because they know they're going to answer for it. And see, that reveals the spiritual heart of the person. So that person will nevertheless be judged. But Jesus said, but he that knew his master's will and did not do it, he shall be beaten with many stripes. But nevertheless, again, they're both going to be beaten for their sins. It means they'll be called into account for their sin. So again, until the written word is inspired or it illuminates a person, it is information only. It can be that only. People can give only mental assent to it. Yet, as I said, if you put too much stock in personal prophecy and guidance, and I'm not saying they're wrong, there's a place for it, but I found a long time ago, God rarely gives special manifestation and special prophecy to novices. And he rarely gives it to people who won't even study Scripture. Not people who will run with the Word. Where's the Word of the Lord? I want a Word of the Lord. And I said, you're not getting one because you don't know Scripture. For much is given, much is required. He that is diligent will be given more. When a person has applied themselves to sound doctrine, they're at least in a position that when they get, or if they get some manifestation, they're able to judge it properly. And therefore, I do not believe in much of the personal prophecy. I have people run around, oh, I got a word of the Lord, and they don't even know Scripture. To me, it's nonsense. I don't believe it. I've never believed it. But see, again, this is what happens. And this is how these people are easily deceived, because when people have a manifestation, a spiritual manifestation, if that's the only one they've ever had, they tend to want to believe it's God. But they fail to realize that most manifestations are from the demonic realm. They're actually not from the spiritual realm or from God's realm. And deceptive times we live in is that many false prophets will arise and deceive many. It has to be to prepare us for the great false prophet and the Antichrist. This is why the world as a whole will readily receive him, because over the generations there's going to be many false teachers and prophets that are already preparing the hearts of the wicked. As John the Baptist came to prepare them for the Lord, what did he do? His main mission was to preach repentance. He said, prepare your way. I'm straightening the way, the highway of holiness, for the Lord is coming to his temple. And the ones who did not listen to John could not receive Jesus. If they did not prepare their hearts by repentance, they could not recognize him, as the Pharisees could not. They could not see Jesus for who he was, because the sin in their lives deceived them and blocked them to the truth. Yet the ones, interesting, isn't it, that half of Jesus' 12 apostles were disciples of John. He had prepared them. And then when Jesus came, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. His disciples went to Jesus. And John wasn't jealous over this. He had done his ministry. But see, they didn't need to go to Jesus and repent. They had repented. They had prepared their heart. As the Scripture taught, they cleansed themselves according to the law and according to the Word of God. And therefore, they were ready for spiritual things. Cornelius was a righteous Gentile. Not righteous according to the Jewish law. God judged him according to his morals, his heart, his attitude. And he evidently was a good-hearted person and kind. He didn't say he was perfect or sinless. And yet God himself, through the angel, said, because of your good deeds. What was his good deeds? He gave a lot of alms to Jewish people and helped them, the Jewish poor. And here he was a Gentile. And the angel said that your good works have come up before God as a memorial. It is astounding. He didn't call him a dirty sinner. He didn't say, well, you're lost and on your way to hell. He wasn't. In the light he had, he was a righteous Gentile. And he was told how to enter the kingdom, the new covenant, and the angel told him to seek out Peter. And then when he hears the message and he hears the new covenant, he immediately receives it, and 12 people, including him, were not only saved, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied and praised God and spoke with tongues. So again, this is what happened. So if a person is diligent in the Word of God, they're less likely to be given over to frivolous deceptions and spiritual imitations and lies that you'll see in much of these so-called famous evangelists who have great followings. I don't listen to them, but what I've heard in the past, they emphasize the wrong things. Their whole gospel is geared around materialism, around finding one's wife, being happy. All of these are the things that are of the world and have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. And the wicked and the selfish seek this out. And they love it because they're told that this is what God wants for you. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to find your life. Isn't it astounding when Jesus came right out and said, he that finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake and the gospel shall find it. So again, the gospel is different today, but the true gospel is not. it has stood the test. So again, as I've said many times over the few years I've been in the Lord and counseled, many people are misguided and deceived and made foolish by words, by impressions, so-called prophecies, the words of knowledge, something that they got in their mind because they wanted it. They misread, they mistimed, they twisted scripture or words out of context to say what they wanted to say, to satisfy their own longings, their own desires, and their own lust. One of the most quoted scriptures and the most misguided scripture is terrible when these scriptures become so common that the non-Christian will quote them. Delight yourself in the Lord and He'll give you desires of your heart. The whole motivation for that one scripture is people want what they want. I want the desires. How am I going to get this? Well, how do I wiggle God into giving me this? That's what they're actually saying. How can I trick God into giving me that? Now, this is what I want. But see, they don't go to the other scriptures that are people finding the will of God. Or God might say, no, this is not for you. See, they don't have a concept of that because they don't want to hear that. But see, these are the people that are automatically, I say, they're easily led astray and fall to the wayside. Because they have a preconceived idea of what they want, and they're going to twist scripture, and they're going to listen. And see, this proves that Paul's writings were sound today, when he said, men will not endure sound words, sound teaching, sound exhortation, but they will heap to themselves teachers, ministers, these false prophets who tell them what they want to hear. That's what it says. It says they will tickle their ear. And it's the people as a whole that will be held accountable. And I said before, in the early church, you dealt a lot with ignorant people. Today, you don't. Therefore, God is going to be less merciful. You have great intellectual people, and they're going to fall into greater deception. They should know better in many ways. But it says they will heap to themselves. They're going to say, this is the kind of teacher and prophet minister we want. They're going to regulate it. You either tell us what we want or we won't pay you. And that's what it amounts to. We want you to speak lies to us. Oh, they won't say that openly, but that's what's in their heart. Tell us what we want to hear. Make us feel good. Tell us that God loves me unconditionally. Tell me that no matter what I do, I'm going to heaven. Tell me that God wants me to be happy here and that I'm special and I'm a king's kid and I'm more important than anybody else. They don't want to hear these lies. And they open themselves up to these demons. That's why I said they will not endure sound teaching. It says they will turn their ears away from the truth. And the word they use, Paul uses, unto fables. It means unto lies. And it's so easy for us to recognize this, but it's not easy for these people sitting under them to, because they don't want to hear it. And if you say anything to them, well, you're just narrow-minded. You're just the killjoy. You know, well, you're negative. You don't have a bunch of followings like he does, so obviously you must be wrong. You know, they have all of these plausible words of wisdom, which Christ himself and the Word said God will take them in their own craftiness. He will take the deceptions these people believe, and he will take the scriptures they pervert and use it to their damnation. Because they love not the truth, God will give them over to a strong delusion, Paul said, that they should be damned, who love not the truth, but who believe in lies and unrighteousness. So again, that's what happens. They're not excused. They will be called into understanding. If one does not have a good understanding, rightly handling the Word of God, one is not suited to be placing too much on feelings and experiences and such, because sound scripture, even instructional scripture, should help them in those matters. I say as a minimum, a person should study scripture. Yeah, every time the Christian studies, it doesn't mean he's inspired every time he reads scripture. He has to study it. He has to study it with his mind. He has to remember it. It doesn't mean immediately he perceives all of this, but he has to lay the foundation. What I'm saying is that the written word of God will not help the unbeliever spiritually. It cannot, because there is no life behind it ever, because they're not in the kingdom. So again, if someone presents the gospel or a witness to an unbeliever, you have to have the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to either anoint the words of the speaker or open the ear of the person who has no spiritual understanding. So again, I'll give you another example, then we'll go on. I once knew a minister, people won't believe this sometimes, but it's true. I once knew a minister that told me in front of 3 or 4 other people that God had promised him a beautiful wife. I told him it was nonsense, and everybody was so embarrassed. I think they were more embarrassed for me because they thought I shouldn't have said that. But I told him that was a bunch of nonsense, that God was not into satisfying his erotic lust. And he didn't know what to say. I was shocked. He took it so well. So I let him jabber on a little more. I found out later, because he came and told me this, he didn't tell the group there, that he had already been to Asia once on his tours and married a beautiful Oriental woman. And she got back to America, and after 2 years, she dumped him. And she told him the truth. I never loved you, and personally I thought you were ugly, but you were nice to me. And after she got her citizenship and everything, she dumped him. And so now he was looking for another beautiful wife. And I thought, well, isn't this interesting? He didn't learn his lesson the first time, did he? And again, I said something maybe at the time I shouldn't have said. I said, and not only that, are you very presumptuous in this life? You are looking for a beautiful wife. And I said, I'm going to be truthful from what people told me. You're an ugly person. I didn't mince my words. I told him the truth. You are physically an ugly person. And most women and people said you were, that you would have the nerve to think that God would punish some woman by putting with you. I had to use this because it seemed like after the first time, he hadn't learned nothing from his lesson. And again, I was astounded that he didn't attack him. Really, I think nobody ever told him anything like that. See, he was in a delusion. He was deceived, and he hadn't learned from the first time because it was his erotic, romantic lust that he was trying to satisfy. And again, the erotic, romantic love is of the natural realm. It's neither good nor evil in itself. But see, he was trying to tell himself, this is what God wants from me because I want this. And I've seen this happen so many times with others. So again, he couldn't be faulted that much. But that is what happens. The Holy Spirit's guidance and prophecy is for spiritual purposes. It is not for personal lust. It is not for personal covetings. It is not for personal pleasures. That is not the foundation or the purpose, basically, of these things. The Christian that walks in the Spirit finds delight in spiritual things and in the things of God. But again, he can differentiate between what is natural, what is neutral, and not allow it to interfere with spiritual things. But the person that wants God to rubber stamp his worldly desires or his natural desires, he's already opened himself for delusions. So again, I would have to say that most of this prophecy and faith teaching is nothing more than false materialism, pleasure seeking, money making, and finding one's life instead of losing it for Christ. Well, let's go a little further. Let's read what Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verse 5 and 6. Useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. One of the translation adds, from such people turn away from. Verse 6. But godliness with contentment is a great gain. Isn't it astounding? This is scripture. Isn't it funny? People rarely read this scripture here, do they? Useless wranglings, arguing over nonsense is what he's talking about. Men with corrupt minds, it means spiritually corrupt. They have no spiritual understanding. They do not have the truth. That's what the word destitute means. They don't have the truth. Who suppose, and you have preachers propagating this, they're teaching this, that God wants to prosper you in this world with materialism. Again, that is not the emphasis of Scripture. And it says that who suppose, they believe this, but they're wrong, that godliness, that being a Christian is a means to make yourself materialistic wealthy and to make yourself of this world materialistically. Paul later uses words, he says, covetousness. He says, and you know that no covetous person has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. So the Holy Spirit guides. He does by encouraging, by confirmation, by opening and closing doors. He works within providences. We're still talking about, again, increasing and being led of the Spirit, that they were individually led and told where to go and where not to go. And this is the basis we got onto this, that the Holy Spirit does give guidance, and he desires personal guidance. And only, again, as people mature in the Lord, are they able to discern these things. And it always is an instant. People have to pray over these things. Sometimes it's not as clear as they would hope. Then he works within providences. The Christian at times, in most cases, has to pray out things. And at some occasions, God can be very direct in what he wants and what he doesn't want. It seems like he was very direct to Paul. Go into this area, don't go into this area at various times. So the general will and word of God was go into all the world and preach the gospel. Yet he can and does work orderly, and he knows with the mind ready, which minds are not ready. Wisdom, again, is the best use of knowledge. So God's wisdom directs, he redirects, he leads, and he instructs. Not only does he do it through the general teaching of Scripture, there's times he has to be and desires to be more personal, more directive, because the ministry requires that. Many people think it's because they're important. See, it's not that. I've seen many people want a word from the Lord, and they tried to use me for this. So they could run to somebody and say, oh, I got a word from the Lord. It wasn't that they got a word from the Lord. You know what it was? And I saw it so many times. It was spiritual pride. They wanted to be able to go and boast to somebody that, oh, I got a personal prophecy. Aren't I special? See, that's what they're saying, whether they say it verbally. They're like children almost, you know, aren't I special? And that alone reveals that they are not in a position of receiving anything personal. They haven't even understood the practical instruction of God's word in humility and humbleness and dying to themselves. So again, a closed door can be just as much as guidance as an open door. Yes and no, and wait, we often say, is still many times the way God answers people. But again, when I hear people tell me as if every day they have an angel or a direct prophecy, I think it's nonsense, because I don't think Apostle Paul even had that. If you study the ministry of Paul, often he used common sense. And he would pray and go into areas, and it was only then at times the Holy Spirit would redirect him. But he was headed somewhere else, and he felt this is fine to do this. And in general, he was okay until the Holy Spirit says, well, no, I want you somewhere else. So let's go ahead and stop here. We may not have gotten far on verses, but hopefully we got far on some exhortations that are needed for some people on seeking God's guidance and not being deceived. Give us wisdom in your word, Lord, and give us wisdom in its practical application. In Jesus' name, amen.